We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have reasons to rejoice, not because of what we have done, but through what you have given to us in sending your one and only Son, that we might rejoice always in all things we do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A man was on his way home on a flight when suddenly the plane began to be tossed about. Then there was a big bang and the plane went completely dark. The man began to pray, for he thought this was the end. He prayed that Jesus would enfold him in his arms to take him to his eternal home. But after a few moments, which seemed like an eternity, the lights came back on. And then the voice of the pilot could be heard. He announced that the plane had been hit by lightning. Everything had checked out, and we would soon be making our descent into our final destination. Across from him sat a man in a uniform, and he began to engage in conversations with him, and he quickly learned that he also was a pilot. He had been flying for many years and many hours, and he informed him that at one time he too had been hit by lightning. And then he said, "I have complete confidence in this pilot, and what he has said is true, that we would safely land." And with that, the man thought of this verse, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over tempestuous seas." Isn't it reassuring to know that we have a pilot who guides our life day in and day out? We can live our lives with complete confidence. And when our faith falters, which it will, we allow sometimes for fears to creep in, for dark moments. And think about it. No matter how heavy the burden or how strong the temptation, our Lord is there to pilot us through whatever it is. And that brings us to our epistle this morning. Here we are continuing our letter to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And that's a beautiful section here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, when you think about it, these words come of a man who is sitting in a jail cell. They were written to his church, to the church, under a great deal of persecution, to believers who were struggling with all kinds of issues and their identity as a Christian. And it would have been easy to take the wrong turn. And then think about what allowed Paul to be content. And if you really look at the text closely, you will see there are really three things that allow that. He had learned that he could rejoice in the Lord always. How many times do we always rejoice in the Lord, or do we get ourselves down, wondering? And sometimes we go through some very deep, dark depression. And Paul said he had learned to be able to rejoice in whatever the situation. Second, he said, "I have learned to have reasonableness," that is, moderation, forbearance in all things, that sometimes when everything seems so dark and clouded and everything, there's a time to just allow God to be God, to be able to do for us what we cannot do. And he said, I have learned to not be anxious about anything. Now, there's one I'll honestly say I struggle with. Anybody else having a little anxiety once in a while in your life? If we're all honest, yeah, that's a hard one. He had learned not to be anxious about anything. And sometimes when I'm going through the midst of something I'm kind of anxious about, I have to remind myself of this verse. We have nothing to really be afraid of. God's got it for us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, when you're going through a tough time in your life, it's easy sometimes to see that where's the rejoicing? Where's the realization of what God has done for us? You see, that rejoicing, that ability to be able to rejoice comes from a gift of a cross in which our Lord took your sin and my sin upon himself. And Paul talks about a rejoicing that remains when all other things sort of vanish from us. Now, that's a hard one. We are not to be anxious about anything. Translated, that means we should be careful, not worrying about anything. And of course, the question becomes, how well do you do that in your life? And if we all really are honest with ourselves, we'd say, sometimes that's a hard one. We are to cast all of our cares upon Him. Think about that. Casting everything in our life to the Lord, to our God, who will take care of all of these things. And again, how well do we do with that? How many times do we worry? How many times do we stress ourselves over the little things in life? Here we are in a world today that is sort of a very stressful place to be. All we have to do is look around us at the news that we read and hear every day. There's opinions about Ukraine. What's going on in Israel right now? And then there's Washington, D.C. We even have our own issues. And even when we bring them up, what goes on inside of each one of you? Where is your joy? It's a hard world in which we find ourselves. And so Paul wrote, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And sometimes when you're watching all that's going on in our world, it's real easy to be down, to be brought low. Then you think about what Paul is reminding us of here. Our world needs a lot more love. Our world, and I'm going to change that, as Christians, we need to be a little more civil. Civility needs to be a part of who we are. It is really distressing to hear how many Christians really say things that aren't very Christian, aren't very loving. They're very opinionated, but they're not the kind of love that Paul's talking about here or the rejoicing that Paul is talking about here. How well do we abound in all the circumstances in our life? For Paul, he said, neither the abundance of things or the lack of things would move him from that which is important. Now, I know that all of you have those times in your life when you wonder, when you struggle. I can tell you that when I read this section just for myself, from the human side, there's a real struggle. When I'm at odds with someone, it's easy to want to be going down a road you shouldn't go. Rather than putting the best construction on them or the situation, it's easy for us to do the opposite. And yet when we do that, that clashes with what Christ has done for us. When we are at odds with somebody, it's not to think the worst about them, but it is to consider the love of Christ and how that might change my attitude about this person. I may not agree. I may not understand where they're coming from. But first and foremost, I need to love them. What is our identification? We use a lot of labels in the world in which we find ourselves today, and you could pick whatever label you want. The problem is, we aren't about labels. We're about a way of life that is grounded in the cross of Jesus Christ. If we are a new creation, a new man, we recognize first and foremost that we are forgiven in Christ and that Christ can carry us through any want or plenty, through the dark moments of life. And those are important words. As you move forward in ministry, remember that there's nothing that separate us from the love of Christ. And I love verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here is your peace. That peace that passes all understandings, because when left to ourselves, we know the ways we will go, and we oftentimes go there. But the reality is that as a Christian, first and foremost, I need to be strengthened through him who loves me, who died for me. We need to not hold back who we are because of what he has done for us. And so many times in this world in which we find ourselves, so many times in the situations of life, we forget about the rejoicing that belongs to each one of us. It's wonderful to see the kids down here so happy and rejoicing and all of that. You know, how many times do we rejoice in the Lord? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your forbearance, your reasonableness. And another key word is not there, but I think is important, your gentleness. Christians need more gentleness. They need to let the joy of who we are because of what Christ has done for us shine forth in our life. And when those situations come, when anxiety is there, remember what Christ has done, is doing, and will do. Because the truth is, this rejoicing comes from knowing that that cross was there for you, for each of your lives. There is my peace, your peace. We can rejoice in all circumstances because of what Christ has done for us, that he rose on the third day, and now he sits at the right hand of God. It gives us reasons to rejoice, not just in certain moments, but always. What he has done for us, just as it did for Paul sitting in a prison cell, knowing that he had full confidence that God would see him through. And so it ought to be in each one of our lives. Be reminded, as you move forward in ministry together, there will be times when you will differ with one another, but remember, first and foremost, you always need to rejoice in the Lord and let that love of God surpass anything that struggles in your life. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's what Paul says. And that's what we need to do. Amen.